Today, as Marlo and our readers have said, is one of the most exciting times in the life of the church. It's one of my favorites, being the season of Advent. Many of you came last Sunday, and you helped decorate our church. It's beautiful. We love this time. And the worst weeks are the two last weeks after we take this down, because it seems, it's so empty in here and bare. You know, let's build a new church. We have all these different things. And so, and we wish, you know, in my single days, we left the tree up until April and May, right? So why can't we do it here? It's just something that we could do. We just used it as a lamp. So if you're willing to do that, then talk to Linda Brittle. She might not be willing to let us do that. But anyways, it is an exciting time. Advent has changed, though, right? I mean, think about long past traditions. We celebrated this time as a preparation to get ready for Christmas, and not the gifts, but ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Messiah, the birth of our Redeemer. And there are the likes of us who, as soon as that trick-or-treater walks away, we're pulling out the boxes for the Christmas decorations, right? We don't even wait for Thanksgiving anymore. But this season, as Marlo said, it's about waiting. And not just sitting in the corner waiting, but about actively waiting. And although those two words don't seem to go hand in hand, that is what we're called to do during this time. It is about prepping our hearts and our minds and our souls, our lives. Do you remember the first day of school? Some of us have to think a little bit harder than others, but think about that first day of school. Not the third day of school. The third day of school you were already ready for, the last day of school. But the first day of school, that was a big day. I don't know about you, but I had my shirt and pants laid out on the bed. Our shoes, we laced them up. If you know me, I'm a little particular about my hair, and so I had to practice comb it a few times to make sure everything went down right, and I still do that. Sometimes I go home at lunch and say, is it still right? Don't judge. We're just sharing our lives here together. But that first day of school was exciting, right? We tried on our clothes, and if you're like me, I bet Taylor did a few flexes in the mirror to make sure everything was right, everything stayed intact. And so, but there was an excitement about that first day of school. It didn't matter if it was our fifth grade first day of school or our senior year first day of school. We were excited about that. That day. And that's what this season of Advent should be like. Our hearts should be like. Some of us have had 10, 30, 70 Christmases already. But the excitement and the butterflies should still be the same. It's a spirit of expectation and a confidence that through our celebration of the birth of Christ, that God will arrive and do something great in our receptive hearts. And so we get ready. We ask, God, how will this Advent season be different? How will this Christmas be different? And we read our scripture reading today, taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. The Word of God reads, "This is how Jesus Christ was born. A young woman named Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. But before they were married, she learned that she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good man and did not want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone. So he decided to quietly call off the wedding. Well, while Joseph was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, 'Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. Then after her baby is born, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said. A virgin will have a baby boy, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. After Joseph woke up, he and Mary were soon married, just as the the Lord's angel had told him to do. This morning we read a familiar text, a text that many of us have probably acted out, that many of us have we've studied about it in Sunday school. We've heard it all the time. Sometimes we drove down the road and we saw a nativity scene played out. It is the birth of Jesus. But this morning, can we just talk? I don't want to stand up here and give you the genealogy of Jesus. I don't want to stand up here and give you quotes from the 1500s and to explain to you how miraculous and wonderful this is, although it is. But I just want to open up this passage and share with you this morning what I hear and what I see. Because the Bible, the Word of God, is a living Word. So in the end, we know that it speaks to me and it speaks to you. In most nativities that are in stories of birth of Jesus that we have read, Mary and Jesus are always the highlight. Perhaps that's why we're focusing on Joseph in your Sunday school class. We love to hear the story of Mary. We love to hear the story of Mary and the angel Gabriel. We love to hear the story of how Mary submits to God's will, says yes to what God is calling her to do. Right? We love to hear Mary's song, the Magnificat. And well, Jesus, who doesn't love a cute baby? But there's more to this story. There are more people in this story. And so today, I want to ask you to look at the life of Joseph in this moment. Now, sometimes we read over passages and we think, cool. And we go on. But as I read this story this week, I thought, ugh, that's a rough place to be in. For Joseph. I mean, we have all these examples of great men in the Bible, right? But rarely do we look at Joseph, because there's not much written about him, but we look at Joseph, rarely do we look at him and think, wow, I wish I could be like that guy. I could be in his shoes. So here we have this story, this setup where Joseph, this man, is engaged to this young lady and she comes to him and throws his life into a complete tailspin. She says, Joseph, don't be mad. Think about that. How in the world would we respond in not only the fact that she's pregnant, but she says she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Imagine Joseph in this story. Perhaps we can't relate exactly to the story, but perhaps we can. You see, friends, we live in times now that things that what we used to call impossible and unexplainable are happening all around us. We can't come to church on Sundays without something that is on our hearts or on our minds that is happening in our world that rocks the very core of who we are. Most of us can only explain these things with simply just shaking our heads or crying. It could be things from natural disasters or from hurricanes or fires that completely wipe away land and lives. Or it could even be acts of senseless violence and hate where what was once holy places of worship and family time are now places where the lives of our precious babies are taken. We are left every day with questions on our hearts and things that seem impossible that are now becoming a normal part of our lives. But how do we respond to these things? How do we deal with these things? How can we keep our faith without slipping into a spirit of fear? Well, this story of Joseph, it's not just a story of Christmas. It is a story about his very soul being rocked when Mary told him that she's pregnant. Think about that. In that moment, all his plans, all his goals shattered in an instant. His situation, his circumstance now thrown into chaos. Imagine being in Joseph's shoes at that very moment. We get the yellow cards. We know, we hear. When you hurt, we hurt. When you cry, we cry. But what did Joseph do in that instant? What did he do in that moment when everything changed? Well, verse 20 says he thought about a few things. He thought, well, maybe I'll dismiss her. But Joseph had to stop. Joseph had to stop and think. Imagine those moments for Joseph, where the only option in this moment was to stop and trust his God. And although those words seem easy to say, they are the hardest thing to do. Trust God? The word trust means to have a firm belief. We can stop right there. Not an unwavering belief or a wavering belief, not a kind of, oh, I think so belief. It says a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. And that's what Joseph had to have in that moment. And that's hard. You see, we're good. Gabe is good at trusting himself. We want to have all the solutions. We want to be the answer. And yet, even though Joseph had every right to shame his bride in that moment, according to the law, something stopped him and made him pause and wait on God. What I believe that stopped him was his love for Mary. Although what she said completely, he still loved her. Not only that, he loved his God. And he had a confidence in God's love for him. The Bible says that Joseph was called a righteous man, a good man. He knew God's heart. And even though in this moment his world was in total chaos, it was love that calmed the raging seas of his heart. It was love that extinguished the flames of possibly wanting vengeance or feeling hate in this moment from what was seemingly robbed from him. He stopped and he waited on God. And what happened? God was present. God gave him clarity. He didn't take the pain from Joseph. He didn't say, oh, don't worry about it, Joseph. I'll take care of it and you just be there, okay? You don't have to be a father to him. God was in this moment present with Joseph. How do we respond in the chaos? How do we respond when the world around us seems full of unknowns and unexplainable circumstances? Do we trust with that trust that is a firm belief? Do we allow room for God to come in? Are we patient on waiting for God to come in and provide clarity? Do we run in fear and in panic? The answer is probably all of those things all at the same time. Our human nature is to run. And the hardest thing to do is to trust. But imagine, what if Joseph said, no, I'm not going to do that. What if he walked away and said, this is too much. I can't handle this. Would the story have been different? What would happen if Jesus had no father figure to raise him, to guide him, to lead him, to teach him, to love him? What would have Jesus missed out on? And even more, what would have Joseph missed out on? Some of the greatest rewards are earned through the toughest and darkest circumstances. And sometimes we quit. And sometimes we throw in the towel. And because of that, we miss out. Friends, this world that we live in is scary. We believe, but believe me, that we cannot do it alone and think that our faith is going to be okay. That is not what we are created to be. To walk this life, this faith of journey alone and think that, yeah, my faith will be all right. This morning, we are called to trust in the love that God has for you. Trust in the unconditional, extravagant love of God. Trust that He is present in every storm, in every tough situation, and friends, those storms will come. Matthew 7 says that the rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against the house. That house is our lives. Those storms are anything from acts of senseless violence to tragedies in our own lives to natural disasters to sickness to broken relationships and anything else that may rock the core of who we are. Joseph looked at his unexplainable situation, and although he hurt, he loved. He knew he was loved. He knew that he was loved with the love like no other. And you are loved with the love like no other. This Advent season, remember that. Remember that as we prepare for the celebration of the birth of Christ, remember that all that has happened, all this story that has happened, that God loved the world so much that He gave His precious, only, perfect Son so that we can believe, we can have life, and we know that we are dearly Let's pray. God, as we come to this Advent season, we prepare our hearts as we light the lights, light the candles, cook the meals. Let us not forget why this is all done. Not so we can just have gifts or days off work. But this is done because You loved us so much. And we were in need of You. God, open the eyes of our hearts so that we may make this Christmas story real in our hearts. That it is more than just a man and a woman and a baby. But help us see ourselves in this moment. And that whatever happens in our lives, we know that You are present with us. Just like Joseph knew. Joseph knew that he was loved. Joseph had a love for those around him, and Joseph had a love for You. May we live our lives like this, focused, built on a love like no other, a love like Yours, God.